scripture reading today is going to come from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. And this is the Road to Emmaus story. I believe that it is the classic after Easter story, and it is the walk to Emmaus springboard. It's how it began.
So, I will be reading from the New International Version. So, once again, it's Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Just giving you a moment to open it if you want. On the road to Emmaus. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since this all took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up at once and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. The reason this strikes me as such a pivotal biblical story is that it's not the way we normally think. If you talk to people about God and talk to people about their faith, and you will often hear people say things like,
why doesn't God make himself known? Why doesn't God just intercede? Why doesn't God just appear? Why doesn't God just fill in the blank? But you see, that is not usually the way that God functions. It's not the way that he works. And as a pastor, I'm painfully aware of that. One of the things that is different about being a pastor is on Sunday morning, I wake up really early. I do not sleep in on Sunday. It's usually my earliest day rather than my latest, because I'm going to stand before people who want to hear something and are willing to actually trade 30 minutes of their time for something worth having. Some weeks I have plenty to hand out and plenty to go with and plenty to share, and other times I don't think I do. Does it bother you to hear that? What is interesting to me is that it is often the days on which I think I have a great lineup. I've got the scripture that I really resonate with. I've got illustrations that I think make the connection. And I get up there and I see blank faces, which I miss, actually. Blank faces are better than no faces at all. And then other times, I will say, I don't feel like I have anything. And that is when the Holy Spirit moves powerfully and rescues me and saves everything. Sometimes in those early hours on Sunday morning, I fear that the why has no answer. Why should I speak today? What should I say today? And you're into a valley. But you've got to keep walking. See, I often work with Scripture by connecting it, because I think it is disingenuous and I think dangerous to just grab a piece of scripture and elaborate on it and work with it without putting it together and stretching it across. You see, I think the disciples going to Emmaus felt like they were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. They had been following Jesus. They had placed all their hope in him. They had decided that he was the one who was going to transform the world. And that the interesting thing is that they're listening to him walking down the road to Emmaus as he says, "Don't you believe all the prophets have declared? Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted the things about himself in all the scriptures. Like I was saying, building forward, going back, pulling things together, seeing the narrative as one big story. And as they came near the village, it was like he was going to keep on going and walk away, but they held fast, begging him to stay with them. And when he was at the table, he took the bread and broke it. And their eyes were opened, and they understood. And it's only then that they said, "Didn't our hearts burn in us as he opened the scriptures?" Didn't our hearts burn within us as he explained the Messiah and who the Messiah was? But somehow that didn't click until he broke the bread. To his frightened disciples in the upper room, he walks through a locked door. To doubting Thomas, he says, touch my hands. Put your hand in my side. We'd love to be able to do that, wouldn't we? To just fall at his feet and touch his hands and side. But when we brush up against the church, the Arise Church, we brush up against the body of Christ. The courage of God spills out when something special happens. But I think too often what happens is that we avoid that opportunity. Not that we say, oh, no, I don't want that, but we just keep walking. We keep marching. We keep pushing forward. We keep moving on, saying, why doesn't God do something? If God wants me, he'll get my attention. Folks, I invite you to read passages of the Bible where God has to get someone's attention. It's not pleasant. Ask Moses, do you really want to be driven into the desert and brought back and driven to the desert and brought back and driven to the desert and then not allowed to enter the Holy Land? Do you really want a donkey to speak to you? Do you really want to be on the Damascus Road and be struck to the ground and blinded just so God can get your attention? No, as disciples, we're supposed to provide the opportunity, the opening. And I think the key portion of this scripture is when the disciples see him break the bread. I don't know how many times they had seen that, but I would have to venture that it was many. So many times that as he broke the bread, they immediately knew who he was. How do you make time for God? How do you be still? Do you have a devotional practice? Do you have a prayer practice? Do you have a scripture plan? I used to, I guess that's not true. I can be a bit of a cynic. I didn't used to be a cynic. I guess I can be a bit of a cynic. And I would always look at things like Bible in a year things and going, yeah, that really speaks to you because it gives you just what you want when you want it, right? As you force your way through the Bible once 365th at a time. But I had a professor at Duke, his name was Richard Hayes. He says, if it gets them to read the Bible, and they're not reading the Bible before that, maybe it's not such a bad thing. I was intimidated when I was reading the journals of John Wesley, and he would say things like, today is going to be really difficult. I have to preach 3 sermons, and I have to ride from here to here to here. I don't think I'm going to make it unless I can open my day with 4 to 5 hours of prayer. I can't sit through a 4-hour movie, much less sit still for 4 hours of prayer. And again, it came back to me that if I was praying a few minutes at a time, 3 times a week, that praying 30 seconds every day is an improvement. It gives God something to work with. And I went from 30 seconds to 60 seconds to 90 seconds, and I'm working my way into this prayer discipline, this prayer life. No, I'm nowhere close to 4 hours and probably never will be. But it's not the goal that's important. It's taking the journey with Jesus. I am more than willing to bet that everybody has the same blind spot. They don't like to do what they don't do well. I love to read scriptures. I love to read devotions. I love to read commentaries about the scriptures and the devotions. Prayer makes me stand still. I don't like it quite as well. Journaling takes patience that I really don't have, and I struggle with that. Fasting drives me crazy because all I can do when I'm fasting is think about the fact that I'm not eating. Every minute I'm not eating until I can eat again. But that doesn't mean that it's not a good thing, and it probably means it's something that I really should pursue. Because in pursuing that, I'll be giving time to God. I'll be surrendering my will to God's will. I'll be opening a place where He can be made known to me. I have heard many people say that I don't need to go to church. I don't need to pray. I don't need to read the Bible. I feel close to God when I am fill in the blank, golfing, boating, hiking in the woods. And I would say that truly could be a path to God. But I also think that many people say that and then don't make it a path to God. When I golf, I don't get close to God. When I hook the ball into the rough on the third hole and I am searching through the woods for that Titleist, I do not feel close to God. When I am weeding a garden, do not feel close to God. So the way in which you approach God can be different, but the attitude with which you approach God is the same. It is something that you turn over to Him and allow Him to use. Allow Him not only to inform you, but to just spend time with you. I have a friend, acquaintance, named John Ricardo, and he said that you can always identify your friends because you can identify your friends because you never feel like you've wasted your time when you're with them. There are other people you'll be with and you say, oh, I can learn more about my golf game. I can learn more about fishing. I can learn something for my business. I can find someone to take care of my kids. I can find an opportunity to do this or an opportunity to do that. With your friends, if nothing happens, you're still glad just to have been with them. When you feel that about spending time with Christ, you'll know that you crossed over to a different relationship. And as the song I was singing say, you'll be able to be still and know that He is God. As in the words of the hymn, when you sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, you'll know that it's true. He's not just someone that you can dump your cares on, who all your sins and griefs bear, but just being in His presence will change who you are and what you are. You will go from being a human creation to someone who is a friend of Jesus. I'm often thought that that is something we could actually borrow from the Alcoholics Anonymous group. The Alcoholics Anonymous often say they're a friend of Bill's. Bill W. is the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, and maybe instead of saying that I'm a Methodist or I belong to Arise, we could say, I'm a friend of Jesus. If only it was really true. Could you pray with me? Lord, we do wish that we could be a friend of yours. That we had things that were in our lives where you were made known. And that each time we experienced them, we experienced them with you and through you. Lord, help us to not only find time for you, but to build our life around that time. Help us to be a friend of Jesus. Show us ways in which you're present all the time. Help us turn our lives over to you, to allow you to order them. And in the ways that you are made known to us, help us to make you known to others. Because everyone should have the gift of the presence and the power of the risen Lord. But more importantly, to know and share in his resurrection and have life eternal. Son's precious name we pray.